Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Hello, podcasters, and welcome to a bonus shots round of the podcast. I'm joined by the relentless Ed Campbell, politics producer, the golden boy of Politics Joe. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well. I was wondering if you're going to call me Golden Boy again.
I think I'm going to call you Golden Boy every time.
Yeah,
I like it.
Relentless Golden Boy.
Do you like it? I'll stop if you don't.
No, it's grand. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'll bring it up in my annual review.
You should. We're doing this little treat for you all because Keir Starmer said something good. He's given a speech today, Keir Starmer. They trailed it in the Times, and the leader of the Labour Party is pledging that his party will be the party of house building if they win the next general election, including, and this is sort of the crucial part, allowing building on the Greenbelt. Starmer said he was prepared to break the, quote, taboo of building on the Greenbelt by allowing councils and local residents to do so, quote, if appropriate. He said, it's important for local areas to have the power to decide where housing is going to be. And I think that is probably the most crucial part of what he had to say, and we'll come to that later. The Labour leader also told the BBC today he was prepared to take tough decisions and back the builders, not the blockers. House building, Ed. We're pro house building.
Very, very, I'd say we're yimbies.
Yeah, yimby. Big yimby. We're in the pocket of big yimby.
Big yimby. it's sick. Like, genuine, I think it's really good, exciting policy. Michael Gove admitted there's simply not enough homes in the UK. So what are you going to do about that? Build more.
For sure. I've just come from having coffee with a think tank called the Centre for Cities, so I'm quite charged up and loaded on stats and info. Yeah, I'm just jacked. I'm amped.
Ready to unload.
They estimate that Britain has a shortfall of 4.3 million homes.
Oh, my God.
And that's how many we need. So, I mean, this is a start. I thought it was... this is an interesting announcement because he didn't say, oh, what about brownfield sites? He didn't say... He's gone after the Greenbelt. He sort of like killed the sacred cow of housing.
It's smash in case of emergency.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of like a statement of intention. Do you know what I mean? Rather than being like, this is what we'll do. Here's how we'll change the planning laws. Here's the money that's coming. It's more just like, fucking buckle up, boys, because I'm coming for you.
We're coming for your green fields.
Yes.
Your beautiful green fields. Yeah. I think exciting. There has been criticism of this policy, obviously. Why wouldn't there be? Mm. But I think it's important to remember at this stage that the perfect is the enemy of good.
Mm.
At this point, it is a good start to housing. If there's a 4 million house deficit, this is a decent start. But then he might announce a raft of more pro-housing policies. He might start talking about building houses in derelict high street. Brownfield sites, things like that. I think this hopefully is the start of a very exciting, very progressive housing policy.
We'll go a bit deeper on it, but just momentarily, I wonder if housing ends up being sort of the defining issue of the general election and sort of, yeah, the, our politics going forward. I mean, it's been Brexit, right, for the last however many fucking years. And there's also the undertone running through this of Keir Starmer's kind of, I guess you could call it an open relationship, polyamory with the truth and his promises. So, you know, it remains to be seen, but it appears like housing's hotting up a bit. You know, Michael Gove was talking about it this week. Interestingly, I guess the Tory voters are kind of no. they're hardcore NIMBYs. They're not in my backyard, right? They don't want houses. You know, they live in places like small villages in Kent and oppose the development of 3,000 homes near where they live, as an unnamed colleague of ours has complained. The
comment who you think it was.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Labour voters, who are much more pro-YIMB, you know, they are YIMBYs, right? They want the houses because they want to fucking live in them. So it's interesting. I mean, it could turn out being like the main fault line in an election. I don't think it will, but it could be, I guess, because no one's really that interested in courting younger votes. So, but it's a surefire way of getting them.
Do you know who was quite pro-YIMBY?
Who?
The good people of the National Conservative Conference.
Yes.
That I spoke to.
Yeah.
You asked them what their priority was, their for the next election, and they said build more housing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's recognition, well, across the political spectrum, that that's a vote winner.
Yeah.
At the next election. And I think if that's something that, well, if you're attending the National Conservatism Conference, I imagine you might have quite different ideas from a centrist Labour Party leader.
Mm.
But NatCons, Keir Starmer, bloody housing.
Hand in hand. Fucking yeah. Smashing it, lads. No, I agree. Your man, friend of politics Joe, Tom Jones, said to me, we were chatting after I did the interview yesterday, and he said, there's actually like, economically at least, there's actually quite a fair degree of overlap between what he perceives, you know, we know each other, but not that well, what he perceives as kind of my politics and the politics of Politics Joe and the NatCons, economically, mm-hmm. because they are interventionists. They do believe in, you know, a radical degree of house building. Where we differ, obviously, is on social and cultural issues, but we spoke about that at length yesterday, so we won't need to reopen that tin of
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Not another one?
It's the Politics Show podcast.
The crucial part for me with this statement from Starmer was that bit about local communities. It's important for local areas to have the power to decide where housing is going to be. Because that, for me, is the fucking problem.
Yeah, that's a big caveat, isn't it? Is it? They've got the power. It's out of my hands.
Yeah.
It's up to your
Let me
local councillor who's been there for 40 years, who's the founder of the Greater Gloucestershire NIMBY Party.
Yeah, no, mate, let me tell you, Sir Keir, what those local communities are going to say. And it's going to be, no, thank you, we don't want your houses. I mean, you can sort of add caveats and, you know, and I would say, no, build the houses. And when people say, what about the schools? What about the roads? What about all of the services that we rely on and will become overcrowded? I say, yes, legitimate concerns. We will also build, you know, a new GP surgery. We will put in a new school. We will build a bypass to alleviate traffic flow or, you know, whatever it is. I don't think the two have to come separately, if you will. But there's also a kind of... There's a broader problem here, which is with our planning system as a whole. There's a few things you need to sort of boost the amount of houses in this country. One is, you know, to give councils and empower councils, give them the funds to build new houses, whether it's by grant, whether it's through low interest loans, whatever it is, you can give them the funds to do it. But the big problem is the planning system. and to now completely lift what I've just been told over coffee with this think tank, because I'm going to shock you, I'm not an expert on planning reform. The UK has a discretionary planning system, which is actually a bit of a standout from large parts of Europe and other places in the world, i.e. it's done on a case-by-case basis. And in each of those cases, you know, strong local opposition will almost always trump and knock the proposed developments down. If you change that to a more, and by the way, those places that don't have this discretionary system have better housing outcomes than we have in this country. If you change that system to a rules-based system, so it's not done on a case-by-case basis, you say, here are the rules you have for your development. If you fulfill these rules, you'll be granted planning permission. Now, what those rules are, that's where the conflict comes in. So, for example, would you permit development on the Greenbelt? That's one type issue. But it might be, you know, on a plot of given land, let's say, I don't know, 1 acre, you are allowed to develop 3 dwellings or 5 dwellings. Or in the case of a city, maybe it's, you know, a 6-story tower block, whatever. But if you fundamentally reorient the planning system towards that, so it's rather than a developer has to go, right, well, we'll have to sink, or an individual, I don't know, we'll have to sink 30 grand into architect's designs, into a decent lawyer to try and shepherd this through, and then we're going to do all of that, and actually it'll go to a council meeting and they'll say, sorry. Obviously, you're disincentivized to build. If you can go into that process, go look down the checklist and say, okay, we adhere to all of these rules that you've set, this development will fulfill those developments, you then go, okay, well, I know that we're going to be able to build this thing. And I think that's certainly something that needs to be looked at as well.
Definitely. I wonder why he's not going for, well, I do know why, but it's interesting he's not announcing more social housing being built.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, if it's not enough homes, that's probably an easier system.
Yeah, completely. I can't remember the quote off the top of my head, so you'll have to forgive me, but there was a line in one of the interviews or in the speech about developers. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, that's also a little bit of a red flag, because private developers are not the friends of people who want to be well housed. the private developers' land bank, they buy vast swathes of land and they hold on to it to increase the value of other bits of land, you know, pass it off bit by bit by bit. But they have given us, particularly when you talk about it from a London perspective, and you know, they are tasked with providing us with affordable housing. They do not provide us with affordable housing.
What are you talking about? We own central London flats.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a huge role here for council housing. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely massive. And or, you know, from a cost perspective, we basically chose as a society to instead of making the short term investments of building council houses and then collecting the rents on them, and you know, it comes good in the long term, we let tenants buy their council houses, and then we rolled out housing benefit, which is essentially a subsidy to those people. Where does the money go? It goes to landlords. Most of the people that are receiving that are living in what used to be council homes that are now owned by private landlords. So that's part of it. But yeah, for sure, council housing is a massive, massive part of it. It should be, you know, of that 4.3 million homes we need, I mean, make a million of them council homes. Give them the money. Give bonfire of regulation and not building standards, but planning regulation that needs massive reform. Let them build it. And also, we don't have time for this now, but if you really want to get into my sort of like the weirder parts of my political brain, we'll talk about like neo-peasant shit. you know, build a million agroforestry small holdings across this country. You know, from London to Manchester, and let's change the way that our relationship is with food production. Let's give people meaningful work. Let's give them secure housing, and also combat the climate crisis. But that, Ed Campbell, is a conversation for another day.
If you're interested in Ollie's agroforestry ideas, comment below and Ollie will launch a new podcast about it.
Pubcasters, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.